We Americans are obsessed with beauty. The cosmetic surgery industry is booming. Botox injections are all the rage. Television programs like Nip Tuck and the reality show Dr. 90210 seem to mirror our enduring quest to stay young and beautiful no matter what it takes. But as routine as these operations may seem on TV, sometimes things go horribly wrong. 2 weeks ago, Donda West, the mother of rap star Kanye West, died a day after visiting a plastic surgeon. The doctor says he performed breast reduction, tummy tuck, and liposuction procedures. Early indications suggest that Donda West died from surgical complications. An official cause of death won't be determined for weeks. The surgeon denies any wrongdoing. But on the internet, a lot of blog posters did not blame the surgeon. They blamed the patient. The negative backlash prompted Washington Post fashion editor Robin Givhan to write, "Popular culture pushes and pushes and pushes people toward an ideal, and then tut-tuts when they take the bait." If you've had plastic surgery and heard criticism, or if you're curious about our dysfunctional relationship with beauty, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also tell us your story on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Robin Givhan joins us from our bureau in New York City. Nice to have you back on the program.
Oh, it's nice to be here.
And you write that celebrities these days get caught no matter which way it works. The internet, you say, is filled with speculation about which celebrities have had work done and how terrible it is. Celebrities are trapped, mocked if they look bad, mocked for trying desperately to look good.
No, it's true. There are a lot of websites, and one in particular, you know, awfulplasticsurgery.com, and you can spend hours whiling away the day looking at these photographs in which people literally speculate on who's had a little bit shaved off the tip of their nose, who's had their ears done, their breasts done. And, I mean, it's a real kind of picking apart of celebrities, not what they're wearing, but just, you know, the physical aspect of the celebrity.
And there's no way to win. Either you're old and age and gravity have taken their toll, or you're desperate and narcissistic.
Well, I think that there really isn't a way to win. I mean, I think that there are some celebrities who, or some famous people who are lucky enough that they got the genes that allow them to age well, or at least in a way that we as a culture sort of deems as aging well. But, you know, the rest of us are kind of subject to this really impossible standard. And it's a standard that I think comes from both the world around us, but also from within. We want to be beautiful, essentially.
And, well, obviously, the standard, though, is it may come from within, but it has external measurements, if you will.
It does. It has the standard that is set by fashion magazines, the standards that's set by the film industry. And even though intellectually we know that the images that we see in a magazine or on the screen are not real in the sense that they haven't been altered or they haven't been improved significantly with the magic of makeup or the artistry of filmmaking, we still kind of take that in and use that as the standard. And sometimes, you know, when I'm looking at the fashion industry and the latest trend in makeup is the so-called natural look, I find that even more disturbing than when they're talking about a hyper-glamour look. Because when they talk about the natural look, the reality is that there's absolutely nothing natural about it at all. But there's just been a lot of makeup applied to look as seamless as possible. And I think it kind of exacerbates that idea of being able to roll out of bed and essentially looking like Halle Berry.
This ideal that we hold up to, that not only are we supposed to look great, we're supposed to look effortless as we do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the really nagging problem, I think. The idea that you're not supposed to show any effort. You hear these interviews with models quite often, and people will ask them, "What's your fitness regimen?" And they'll ask that question to a Hollywood celebrity, and 9 times out of 10, they are reluctant to say to you that, "Well, I use a nutritionist, and I have a personal trainer, and I haven't had a cookie since 1975." Instead, what they want to say to you is, "Oh, I don't really do anything. I lost 50 pounds of baby weight because I was just running around, you know, cleaning up the house or something."
And do you want to split a plate of fries?
Yeah, exactly.
Our number is 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. Our guest, Robin Givhan, the fashion editor for The Washington Post. Let's get Barry on the line. Barry calling us from Santa Rosa in California.
Hi. I've been a plastic surgeon for 28 years, and there's sort of a misconception of why people come to a plastic surgeon. No one comes to me and says, make me look beautiful. People come in because they have a problem, and they want the problem to go away. Maybe they look in the mirror and all they see is their nose, and they want to feel whole again. And there's something in the media about people wanting to look beautiful and such like that, but that's sort of not the experience that we have. There's a lot of advertising now by people who aren't really plastic surgeons. I mean, I do cleft lips and palates and reconstructive surgery as well as aesthetic surgery, but now we have, even in our area, general surgeons and gynecologists and people who are saying they're doing plastic surgery, and what they mean is cosmetic surgery. But basically, people come in to solve a problem, and I think that the idea that people are coming in to make beautiful is really overemphasized.
Well, it may be a specific problem, the puffiness under the eyes or something like that, but isn't that a product of age in some respects?
Well, I mean, I think that people, as they get older, look better. But some people, that they look in the mirror and that's all they see. They get fixated on these things, and they want to have it go away. It's sort of the opposite of tattoos. People get tattoos because they want identity with the tattoo. People get plastic surgery because they want things to disappear, whether it's bags under their eyes. And sometimes the bags under their eyes are caused by loose ligaments that cause extra tearing. So there are various things. Generally, I try to talk people out of surgery and not suggest anything that they should have done. I operate all the time, and I never have somebody come in and says, how can you make me look better? If somebody comes in to me and says, what do you suggest I have done? I'll tell them, I'll ask, what bothers you? And if they say, if somebody said, I want to be beautiful, I would tell them, you are beautiful.
Isn't this just, in a way, sort of semantics, though? I mean, I want my face to be as seamless as it was when I was 25.
Well, that's not going to happen. I mean, people have unrealistic expectations. Like, for instance, breast surgery. By far, the main women that have breast surgery, like breast enhancement, are women in their 30s who have breastfed multiple children and now have very saggy, sort of empty sacks, and they want to go back. They want their breasts not to be an issue. I do lots of breast reductions, and the breast reductions are because people don't want their breasts to be an issue for the opposite reason.
Yeah. I wonder, all those other surgeons who are crowding into the act, you figure that they're doing this, that has to be because there's tremendous demand for this.
Well, there is. There's a huge demand for it, but you have to be very, very careful and assess people of what their expectations are, what their motivations are for having it. And certainly there's going to be some outliers or people who are trying to be talked into things. I mean, I do a lot of noses, and I've had people come to me who've been talked and say they went to a surgeon because they had sinus trouble. And then the doctor says, I can make your nose look better. And the patient says, well, I didn't know there was anything wrong with my nose, but if you say so. And then they come to me to have their nose put back.
Repaired, yes.
Because now there's a problem. There wasn't one before.
Yeah, I understand. Barry, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
From his point of view, I can understand the distinction, but nevertheless, I don't think that undermines your point, Robin.
No, but I mean, I understand what he's saying. I mean, it's the rare person who comes in and says, please make me look like Brad Pitt. I think those are the people who end up on bad reality shows, and we're sort of looking at them, you know, like a train wreck or something. I think what happens is people are, in fact, bothered by some aspect of their appearance. And it calls to mind a story I did a long time ago, actually, about a woman who was at that point in her 60s, and she was going in for a facelift and a brow lift and some dermabrasion. And it was, I believe, if I remember correctly, about her second or third facelift. And one of the things that she said to me that I thought was really quite telling about why she was going in was that she said she felt very young inside. She felt like she did when she was in her 30s and 40s, but she didn't like the fact that people were treating her like an old person. And she wanted her outside to match how she still envisioned herself on the inside. Now, I think that's a really complicated reason for going in, and it's not solely about just I want to look younger or I want to look prettier, but I think it does tap into this really complicated relationship that we do have with the idea that beauty is better in terms of youthful beauty as opposed to the beauty that comes with age, and certainly as it applies to women.
And you also write that, to be fair, giving into youth culture does have real rewards, job opportunities, financial gain, flattery.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people are very quick to say that when they see someone who they know has had plastic surgery and it's been done incredibly well, there's an incredible amount of flattery, you know, where they say, oh, you know, they don't look like they had any work done. They just look like they finally got a good night's sleep. They look really rested. And that's seen as this real victory that, you know, they've managed to have the plastic surgery and do it in a way that is culturally acceptable versus the person who goes in and perhaps it is more obvious. And the fact that we can see the telltale signs of it, we decide that that person has failed. And
not
and
the
that's
surgeon,
been
that
inappropriate.
Person has failed. Yeah.
The person has failed. Mm. They chose the wrong surgeon, not that the surgeon has done a bad job.
Robin Gavan is our guest, fashion editor for The Washington Post. 800-989-8255. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Paul on the line. Paul with us from Mason City in Iowa.
Hello.
Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
I'd just like to make a small comment that based on the case that you were talking about earlier, I think that the person that has the surgery should take full responsibility for the choice. Not the surgeon is making just a service to the people. I think it's an epidemic of the wealthy that they get deluded by pop culture. And I mean, I think that plastic surgeons that do miracle works for people in a car crash or
or born with a cleft palate or any of those things. Yes, yeah, we understand.
That is, you know, that's something that should be accepted if it helps the person's well-being. But people that just want to change their face or try to improve their physical structure that's unnatural, I believe that's their own problem if they do have any problems after the case.
So it's their own fault if the surgeon messes up?
It's definitely their own fault.
Uh-huh.
They made the choice whether what surgeon they decide to go to. They knew the risk, and they should take responsibility for it.
It's a little cold-hearted, don't you think, Paul?
Not necessarily, because why should people have to change the way that they look if they're born naturally? I mean, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and if you're a beautiful person inside, it really shouldn't matter what you look like.
Okay.
No matter who tries it, whether it's television or magazines that tries to influence people, it's poor choices that people make is what usually ends up being the regret.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. And I have to say, Robin Gavan, comments like that were not uncommon after the Donda West case.
I mean, I think it's so disturbing that someone can be that cold-hearted, frankly. I mean, one of the things that I think we're all aware of is that, you know, we're a very visual culture, and there have been studies that have shown that people who are more attractive have a lot of advantages, whether it's being paid more or whether it's being given the benefit of the doubt. There are a lot of advantages for being perceived as attractive. And I don't think that you can really judge unless you've walked in someone else's shoes and you've lived, you know, in their body to really be able to understand what it's like when people respond to you in certain ways. What I think is sort of sad is that, you know, plastic surgery, aesthetic plastic surgery has in fact been able to transform a lot of lives, and it's done a lot of good, I think, I assume, for a lot of people. What happens, though, is I think we've often become a bit immune to really how drastic of a procedure some of these things really are.
How easy it looks on TV.
It looks so easy. And even with television shows like Extreme Makeover, where you actually do see some of what happens when someone has plastic surgery, it's still television. And, you know, the recovery time takes approximately 45 minutes, as opposed to the weeks of recovery time that it does in reality. And I think it would behoove a lot of people if they could actually sort of see what really goes on during a facelift or during rhinoplasty, and to know that when someone goes in and makes a decision to do that, they're really making an enormous decision. I mean, it's not something that they've undertaken lightly, no matter how frivolous I think it may seem to other people. And certainly to say that it's something that's relegated to, you know, the rich and famous, I think is not really true anymore. I mean, it's become far, far, far more accessible.
Robin Givhan, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Robin Givhan is the fashion editor for The Washington Post and joined us today from our bureau in New York City. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.
Talk of the Nation is a production of NPR News, which is solely responsible for its content. You can purchase transcripts of stories you hear on this program. Visit our website, npr.org, and click on Transcripts at the top of the page. This is NPR.